Part of my sermon is for the winged squadron of the choir, the red arrows of sacred music, especially after the performance of Tippett and Parry. It's a thank you. Arise, shine, Jerusalem, for your light has come from Isaiah. Sing a new song to the Lord, Psalm 96. I shall write on the pillars the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, and my own new name, from Revelation. Now, these texts are a mixture of celebration and anticipation. Isaiah is anticipating with relish God's redemption of Israel when she's finally free of her oppressors. Psalm 96 is a coronation anthem of celebration and fulfillment. And Revelation anticipates the coming of New Jerusalem in a letter to the church in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, philadelphos, means brotherly love. And in the background of the letter lies the menacing city of Rome, otherwise known as Babylon. We have then a tale of two cities, New Jerusalem and Rome, or Babylon. The old Jerusalem temple has been abolished to be replaced with the risen body of Christ, and we are pillars in the temple of his body. So that's the context for what I want to say about the long for advent of the new Jerusalem, the new song, the new name. The author of the book of Revelation says, "Behold, I make all things new." We're talking about the new creation. So let's begin with the new name. The promise of a new name is mysterious, because we know what we are, but know not what we shall be. The promise hints at empowerment, maybe being renewed with power from on high. That has a Pentecostal ring about it. Whereas we were once defeated, we might now be filled and fulfilled with a new spirit. Maybe the new name also hints at what Paul calls knowing as we are known and undergoing the renewal of our mind. That suggests a right estimate of our place and potential, justly recognizing who we are for the first time, neither exalting ourselves above others nor lost in self-deprecation. There is more to us than we have realized or made real, consumed as we are by nameless fears and crippling anxieties. It's like the promise Jesus made about being of good cheer, because what has hitherto held us in its grip has been overcome. And the new name matters because there is power in a name. Names speak of authority, and they give authority to speak. I think the promise of a name refers to endowment with authoritative speech. We found our own voice. We've been enabled to make our own unique contribution to the new creation. The gift of a new name leads to the gift of a new song to sing in the new city. song takes us beyond even the most articulate speech. Speech is always tied to the grammar of, if this is so, then that must follow. Whereas music is like the unfettered flying we enjoy in dreams. The weight of all this weary world falls away and we soar. There is the foundational theme on which we rely for a grounding, what singers call a cantus firmus, and what organists often have in the pedal part. But beyond that, there is the descant, transforming the whole harmonic edifice from above with a sense of completion. In the descant, the shape of a phrase describes perfect geometry in musical space. And that sense of completion combines with the exploration of infinite possibility. Music is cumulative because it combines infinite possibilities of variation with the power of repetition. Eliot caught some of this when he wrote that the end of all our exploration will be to arrive where we started and know it for the first time. It is the extended journey traversed in the interim that enables us to encounter the familiar with new knowledge of what was always there. Poetry, which is music's close cousin, achieves this through metaphor. Metaphor enables us to see the familiar in the light of what is similar and different. Some metaphors can appear contradictory and still point to the same truth. In his collection, The Shining Stone, from which our anthem came, the 17th century poet Henry Vaughan wrote, "There is in God, some say, a deep but dazzling darkness." But he also wrote, with an early modern sense of cosmic grandeur, "I saw eternity the other night, like a great ring of pure and endless light, all calm as it was bright, and round about time in hours, days, years, driven by the spheres, like a vast shadow moved, in which the world and all her train were hurled." Finally, we come to the heavenly city of New Jerusalem, with its streams of living water, delighting its inhabitants as they once did in Eden, and its gates that remain open to all comers day and night. Christ is the one whose throne opened the gates of new life to whomever seeks to enter. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." So Pentecost is completed by ascension. But there is also a contrast here. Jerusalem is a sign of devastation that does not know what belongs to its peace, and it is the peaceful city where people come together in every kind of peaceable commerce, and a courteous wisdom regulates their coming in and their going out. We have to hold both in our imaginations. Jerusalem is the coincidence of opposites, twin possibilities of human degradation, destruction, and warfare, and the place of feasting and brotherly love, another Philadelphia. The Book of Lamentations reminds us of the destruction as the darkness deepens at Tenebrae in Holy Week. The ways of Zion do mourn. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies saw her and mocked her Sabbaths. All ye that pass by in the way, behold and see whether there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, turn to the Lord thy God. Attendite, attendite, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, convertere, convertere, dominum deum tuum. Like all great laments, David over his brother Jonathan, or David over his son Absalom, it is overwhelmingly beautiful in its total devastation. Jerusalem is also the city of peace, so that wherever poets and prophets sing of this city, they point to the new Jerusalem. The sign of vision becomes a sign of a place where brothers and sisters sit down together in unity to share the good things of life round a common table. It is the place where all our exiles end. Arise, Jerusalem, and shine, for thy light has come, for your warfare is accomplished and your iniquity pardoned. In the words of Peter Abelard's great hymn about the restoration of her mighty Sabbaths, O quanta qualia sunt illa sabbata, Jerusalem is the city of everlasting peace, a peace that is surpassing and utter blessedness, where finds the dreamer waking, truth beyond dreaming far. Now there, nor there the heart's possessing less than the heart's desire. But ours with minds uplifted unto the heights of God, with our whole hearts desiring to take the homeward road, and the long exile over, captive in Babylon again unto Jerusalem, to win at last return. Amen.